Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and the 10th chapters. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the dominion of heaven, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvesting." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles. Enter no town of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The dominion of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those with leprosy. Cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The Gospel of the Lord. People were harassed and torn apart. Another translation of that word, helpless. Torn apart is more accurate, I think. We might ask, of whom and when are these words descriptive? It's in Jesus' context, and in Matthew's, for that matter. Matthew wrote some 40 to 45 years after Jesus' ministry. The people, the citizens of Israel, were harassed and torn apart. Most of them were in deep poverty, and their leaders were almost crazed by their need for power and adulation. There were no leaders to hold them together. Jesus uses that common biblical rural image of sheep without a shepherd. And St. Paul, who actually wrote in between Jesus' ministry and Matthew's writing of the gospel, says, while we were still weak, while we were led by dread, while we were overcome and overwhelmed by fear, describing a similar reality that the Christ overlooked and saw in the world. When we read about people who are harassed and torn apart, surely we hear this echo in our own world, in our own society. Legitimate questions about leadership, torn divisions so deep, language so destructive that violence is inevitably the next statement. Fear beginning to rule, and now seemingly in all stratas of society. It's interesting to read yesterday in the paper, and quite logical, that our national legislators surely express fear after the Washington ball field shooting. And also this week, we remember that a little over a year ago, so many were shot and killed in Orlando. And we could name any number of incidents that reflect this overcoming of a spirit of fear and being torn apart. Unclean spirits is not our common terminology, but I think we could use it and we would all understand it as a pretty accurate description of what we experience, of the attitude, of the spirit of our time. Surely, what is happening in our age is something, is a spirit that is on the loose in society, and we might say in many ways internationally. We feel torn apart internally. I mentioned that last week, how many of us are overcome so often by rage or confused about what to do next. When hope seems lost, rage appears. Socially, we are so divided, and so often so vitriolically so, that divisions become lines of enemies. And if we were to stick with the idea of unclean spirits as manifest in these divisions, the rage, the power against others, especially the helpless, then we are not, in this case, guided by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God. In our lesson today, Jesus looks out over the crowds. He sees their condition. He saw it in Judea, and in that seeing, he sees it throughout the ages. He sees it in our helplessness, our being torn apart. He only needed to come once to see that we all tear at the fabric of our relationships, at the fabric of life which God has given us, that we become divided within ourselves, and that the social fabric of our world tears, and that we are torn apart from any place with God. Jesus looks out upon the crowds, again, across the centuries, across the millennia, and he has compassion upon those whom he saw, and upon you, upon me, upon us all. Jesus came once for all to look out over the crowd, to see their humanity, your createdness in God's image, to see how it had been stolen, or how we had let it go in hopelessness, our anger, our confusion, to see that relationships which constitute our humanity are being torn apart daily, seeing that brokenness, seeing that torn apartness. Jesus has compassion. And this compassion is in itself the very beginning of that mystery of suffering. The compassion of Christ was life-giving, and it was always a giving of himself. But his compassion would become a literal suffering for all. As Jesus looked out over the crowds, as he surveyed what was going on among people throughout the world, his approach was not to change regimes, to throw the bums out, to strive for his own political power. Surely he could lead things better politically. That wasn't his approach. Although in the end, his compassion would challenge the whole of the social order to a new order, commonly understood as the realm of God, the realm of heaven, which those who had led would see, in which those who had led would see the humanity of all. Jesus went around to all the villages proclaiming this gospel of a new heaven, a new realm, the dominion of God, the realm of God. And it is the realm of God because Jesus reconnects us, reestablishes our relationship as children of God, as creations of God. We who have been torn apart and apart from God, as creations, as children, as sisters and brothers together in this creation. This healing that Jesus brings, this destruction of unclean spirits which tear at us and by which we tear at others, is the new life, the resurrection life that he promises. Jesus brings transformation to all, to the whole world, by offering compassion. And in his passion, giving his life, he challenged all the world, the whole social order, and all caught in sinfulness. by insisting upon and giving the life of relationship with him and the Creator who sent him. All unclean spirits, all sin, all political power dependent upon dehumanizing others fell upon him in the cross. He suffered. In this suffering, in this mystery of suffering, St. Paul says, we boast. We boast not in any way because we are happy to see suffering, that somehow somebody's got to pay and that makes us feel good. That's the old realm. But that the Christ brings an end to suffering's rule among us and in the world. Yes, it still is about, but its rule is over. In his death and resurrection and forgiveness, in Jesus' compassion, in his passion on the cross, he bears all and forgives all. In forgiveness, in faith, in Jesus' compassion, we are transformed and called to life now and forevermore. In this gift and promise of life, which has gone through the suffering of death, we see that God has changed. Or is it our perception and hearing of God? No longer the threat implied from the second book of Moses, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians." Retribution is set aside upon the cross, overruled. And so now we, forgiven, called, lifted up, once more connected to God in Christ Jesus, are sent out ourselves as disciples. Jesus came once for all to give this sending, and it echoes in our hearts this day to, in faith and trust, bring this rule near, to bring God's promise of life and humanity to all who are torn apart and helpless, and without payment, which at its depths mean without payback, without retribution, without getting even. In faith and in unity with Christ Jesus, to look out ourselves over the crowds, to see the helpless, the torn apart, and with Christ, to have compassion. Amen.